Well, this morning, we're going to go back in our teaching again to what is faith. Hallelujah, we're still there. As Kenneth E. Hagin, from what he had said, I heard him talk about, take about 35 sessions, he says, to cover faith in its entirety to the way it should be covered. Most people have never sat under that much teaching, and that's why there's really a lack in the areas of faith. Faith is sort of a bypass subject, and probably of any subject I have really studied the most is in my Christian walk is faith. And I do it all the time. I go over scriptures concerning faith. Why? Because you can't get saved without faith. Our Christian walk is the walk of faith. The Bible tells us that one fight, the only fight we're supposed to be in, is the fight of faith. And you need to understand this. Without faith, faith is the most important subject in the Bible. You can't get saved without it. People say salvation's the most important. Well, if you don't understand faith, you can't get saved. And there's a lot of people. The Lord spoke to Kenneth Hagin years ago and told him, in fact, in the back of his books that he had published, he always had a prayer back there on the back of the book for salvation. And the Lord, that was one. Jesus himself gave it to Kenneth Hagin, that prayer. Because he said, many people, he said, today, he said, we have many conversions. This is what Jesus said. We have many conversions, but few births. Which means many people that are in the kingdom of God are not saved. They came in through the religiousness of men. What men said, you know, do this, do that. The Lord told him, if you get people, they believe in their heart what that prayer says and say it with their mouth, they will be born again. See, we have I've heard over the years, I'm just amazed sometimes that hardly anybody ever got born again listening to some of the stuff people say. And so we want to come back to the truth of the Word of God, because faith comes by hearing, and we're talking about what is faith. Now, we've been dealing in the areas of faith. I'm going to read a familiar scripture to you, Mark 11:23, which Jesus himself said this, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he said will be done, he will have whatever he says. And I want you to see, it doesn't say he will have whatever he believes. He's going to have whatever he says. See, people think, well, if I'm believing the right thing, then you know, I'm having faith. No, you're not. If you're not saying the right thing, you're going to have what you say, not what you believe, unless you're saying what you believe. That's what's important. If you believe what the Word of God, loads of people say, and over the years I've had people, oh, I believe what the Word of God says. I believe the Bible from beginning to end, and I listen to them talk, and you'd never think they ever read the Bible. Because their mouth just runs all the time with everything opposite of what the Bible says. So it doesn't matter what we believe, it's what we say. And so we're dealing with this areas of faith. We talked about, last week we started in with Abraham, and we're going to go to Abraham again today. But we found out that Abraham was called the father of faith. He was called the father of faith. The scripture calls him the father of faith. Think about that. He's the father of faith. So we ought to look at his faith and how what he did. And we can learn some things. And we did last week, we talked about some things about how God got him over. God gave him a promise and told him that he'd be the father of nations. But God came along and gave him a name and changed his name and made his name the father of nations. And we've been teaching on confession. So far, we've been dealing with believing, what it means to believe. In fact, we might go over to back over to some of that again. The Lord has been dealing with me some things about that. Also, but we've been spent a long time on confession, on saying. What God did, he gave Abraham a name, and his name became the name of what the promise that God gave him, the father of a multitude. God told him, I'm going to make a multitude out of you. Nations are going to come out of you. Kings are going to come out of you. And he told him that. And we need to understand this. What is your name? You know, concerning the promise of God, what do you call yourself? Most people who they're dealing with illness, they call themselves sick. That's what they do. They call themselves. People give themselves a name, you know, and then they blame the doctor. You know, the doctor said, I have this. The doctor said, you know, this one thing as I've learned over the years, I've taught this concerning faith and healing. If you can't go to the doctor and get past what he says and that dominates you, you're always going to have a problem. You know, you need to be able to go to the doctor and him say things, because he tells you, well, you have this problem and you're going to have it for the rest of your life. If you're dumb enough, and I'm just going to be blunt, dumb enough to go around and say that to people, you're the problem, not him. See, we need to get around to naming ourselves. What do we call ourselves? We call ourselves blessed. Well, you don't know the problems I'm going through. Well, I don't think I want to have you confess them to me, because your confession is you believe they're going to overtake you. And I don't want you saying that again. You know, most people come there, they're down in the dumps. They're talking their stuff. And they say, you can't get a person out of depression who keeps saying depressing things. You can pray for joy night and day. And if you keep talking junk, you will never have joy. It will never come to you. What will come to you is your blab mouth. That's what will come to you. Hallelujah. And this is why this confession, you know, you can talk yourself right out of the dumps. You can do it. Get what the Word of God says and just keep saying it and saying it and saying it and talking to yourself. All of a sudden, it's going to light up in you that that's true, and you might find a smile on your face. Hallelujah. That's what you want to come to, where you're going to smile. Now, we've been dealing with believing, and we've been dealing with talking. Today, we're going to deal with the third part of faith, and it's action. Acting on your faith. Because, see, many people never act on their faith. In fact, we want to go this morning and look. Now, you know, God said was speaking concerning Abraham. In fact, Paul wrote it. He talked about, concerning confession, that Abraham, he spoke of God. God calls things that don't exist as though they do. And so you need to understand this, because we're going to deal with actions. When we deal with actions of faith, we need to understand God calls things that don't exist as though they do. So when we're dealing with the subject of actions, you need to understand this. Your actions need to correspond to your faith, not correspond to what's going on around you. Your actions must correspond to what is not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If your actions continually move toward what you see, you're going to destroy your own faith. The Bible says so. That's how we know it, because the Bible says. So what we want you to do, when we are dealing with actions are not the same for everything. Your actions have to correspond to whatever you're believing in, believing for it. So what you're standing and believing God gave you, you need to operate in actions to that. James said a lot of good things about this. In James, the second chapter, we want to look and sort of dissect some of these things and talk about them, because it'd be good if we did. James makes statements here, and people need to understand the difference. When we read these things, James is not talking here. James is writing to people who are already born again. So he's not talking about works from the standpoint to be saved. He's talking about works or actions that we do because of our being saved. We have actions that we do. So he's not writing to sinners telling them they have to do something to be saved. He's talking about the use of faith and our faith. In other words, faith will have some kind of action to it. Now, in James, the second chapter, and the 14th verse says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works?" He said, "Can faith save him?" Now, we need to, here, I want you to get this, because he said, "Can faith save him?" Now, he's writing to brethren. These people are already born again. When you see the word saved in the Bible, you need to know what it's there for. Most people automatically see saved, they think born again. And most of the time, they're exactly wrong. He's not talking about born again. The word save means to heal, deliver, to set free. It means all those things. In fact, if you look in Jesus' ministry, when it talks about people getting healed, it's the same Greek word that's translated saved here. So in other words, what he's talking about is the use of faith. What are you believing God for? Are you believing God to be delivered, set free from something, doing it? Whatever it is. Whatever you want, this so-called salvation. Salvation isn't getting born again. He's not talking born again. He already said brethren. So he's talking to born again people. They're not trying to get saved. They're not trying to get saved. So what it is, he's talking about the subject of faith with these individuals. Remember this. James said this back to these same people in the letter. If you went back to the first chapter and read this, listen what James said in the first chapter in verse 5. He said, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally." In other words, it's easy to get. He gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to you. But listen what he says. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like the wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now we don't like, you know, most time people don't preach from James because James was blunt. James is a guy like me. I understand James real well. And number one, we need to get more blunt with people. I want you to know, if you won't operate in faith, don't think you think you're going to get anything from God. James wrote it in the book. God made sure that letter was in the book. It says, a man who is double-minded is unstable in all his ways, not some of them. See, you want to get out of double-mindedness. That's what I'm doing all this teaching on faith, is to get you out of double-mindedness, because that's what so many people get trapped in. That's why their faith don't work. They're in double. On one side, they believe God. On the other side, they're talking and saying all the other stuff that's going on. They're back and forth. They're not operating in faith. They're not believing something their heart's saying with their mouth and then acting like it's true. They're going along. It's just like I said, a guy used to come to church here years ago. Used to say all the time to me, I just read the Bible and I don't get nothing out of it. Well, I knew he ain't ever getting nothing out of it. You can't talk against God. You know, you can't have wisdom and say, I never get any, I never get any, I never get any. You know, I don't care if it seems like I'm getting any wisdom at all. I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to only say and believe that God's given me wisdom. I ain't saying something else, because I'm not going to be double-minded and unstable in all my ways, because it'll affect you in all your ways doing that kind of stuff. It's an infection that will run spiritually through your entire life. You want to get that out of there. You don't want to get that thing and get that flu. You don't want that flu. You don't want to do that, walking around. God said He gives it liberally. He does it to everybody. In other words, God's handing it out. You can easily get it. You should be saying, you know, I get wisdom easily from God. I'll tell you what, if I want God to talk to me, He reveals stuff to me. I'm going to side with the Word of God. You know, most people, they aren't going to believe they got wisdom till they get the wisdom. Then they're going to believe they got wisdom. They never operate in faith. You don't believe it. God gives wisdom. I believe God gives me wisdom. It don't seem like I have wisdom at all. I don't care. I ain't saying something else. I don't believe something else. He'll give me the wisdom. He does it liberally. Hallelujah. So, you want to get over and to make those statements. Now, we go back here and see, we see this here where we're talking about faith with actions. We're going to be talking about actions. Now, that word works. Let me just say what that word works. That word works is used in the Scriptures. It's a Greek word, ergon. But what it means is the idea that of toil, but as an effort, it means an action, a deed, doing, labor, or work. In other words, it's doing something. It's acting, an action that corresponds to whatever it is that you're doing. Actions that correspond to what you say you believe, because we're dealing with faith. In other words, whatever you're believing, there's actions that must correspond with your belief. Now, one of the actions that corresponds to our belief is what we say. That is one action that we do. But there's other actions that you have to do also. But we want to look at this because we're dealing in the areas of faith here. Because James goes along and tells us about these actions out here. He said, if a brother, he uses this as an illustration. He said, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to him, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give him the things which are needful for the body, what does it profit? In other words, he's saying here, now what is he talking about? One of my most favorite subjects, profit. He said, what does it profit? In other words, see, the things of God are supposed to profit. He said, now look, if a guy comes along and he needs help and you don't give him none, what good did that do? Just saying the nice words over it. This is many Christians, spirit-filled Christians and faith people are nothing but mouth. They talk things but never do nothing. They talk and then go do something else. Now he said, what good does that do? Now listen what he's going to go on to say. He said, thus also faith by itself. And in the same way that that doesn't profit, Number one, it didn't. That other one didn't profit the guy who needed help, but it didn't profit the person who did what he did. Understand, you can't do the wrong thing and get profit. You see, I give, it's given unto me. See, this people do this all the time. They say, yeah, I know people need help, but I can't afford to give. Oh, I can't afford to give. Well, the Bible says it's given, it shall be given unto you. So what they're telling you, I don't have faith to give. I don't have faith to help people. Because I believe if I give what I got away, I won't have enough left for me. God won't take care, can't take care of me. I say the scripture, he supplies all my need according to his riches and glory, but I'll believe it when it's in my bank account. This is good preaching, folks. But this is how it works. See, people get over, well, I can't help, I can't give. And what they're doing is they saying they can't do it because many times it's fear. I'm not going to have enough. I can't help the other guy. You know, God never told us to give everything away to other people, but you help do what you can. You know, you got to extend yourself concerning faith. Many times, Wanda and I, we definitely gave out of our need. Many times we gave out of our need. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, I've sowed a lot of things into this church out of my need. And this is why so other people benefit. Why? Because God's obligated to take care of Ed Gibson. He's obligated. If I believe the word, do the word, and act on it, walk in love, he has to take care of me. If he don't, he's a fraud and a liar. He has to. He's got to do it, and he loves doing it. Hallelujah. So there's action and toil. But unless he said, thus he said, also faith by itself, if it does not have work, it's what? It's dead. In other words, if you don't have corresponding action to your faith, just like he said, if you didn't help that guy out over here, what good would that do? What profit is that? In the same way, he said, look, faith's identical. You believe God, but you don't do what you're supposed to do, it ain't working. Remember Abraham? God said to Abraham, I want you to go over there to Canaan. I want you to go to that land. I'm going to send you there. I'm going to make you a blessing. What did Abraham do? It says he believed God. But how did he believe God? He packed up his belongings and moved to Canaan. I don't care how much he believed and he would have made a confession that if I go out there, God's blessing. Until he acted on it, it wasn't nothing going to happen and he was never going to be blessed. Now I want to read you some scriptures here that will be helpful to you out of a different translation on that verse 17. The 20th century New Testament says, in just the same way, faith, if not followed by actions, is by itself a lifeless thing. Weymouth's translation says this, so also faith, if it is not accompanied by obedience, has no faith in it, so long as it stands alone. The Amplified Bible says this, and I like the Amplified on this, I think it's good because it really does amplify it. It says, so also faith, if it does not have works, deeds, and actions of obedience to back it up, by itself, it's destitute of power, inoperative, dead. Here's where many people lose it in the areas of faith. Because the faith people mostly teach faith and confession. And that's where they stop. Kenneth Hagin used to teach faith, confession, and action. Faith, confession, and action. He's what he used to all think. He used to talk about acting on the Word of God. You need to act on the Word of God. You know, I'd say that. I heard him say that. I've had old tapes of his, and he would say that all the time. Well, James said, James is saying this on here, verse 18, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. James said this, show me your faith without your works and I will show you my faith by my works. You need to understand this. This is one of the lot of times. There's two areas that I look at with people concerning faith and I can tell you whether or not they have faith. I listen to what they say and what they're doing. And I can tell you whether they have faith. Why? You need to understand this, faith. Faith and actions bring your faith into a manifestation to sight that people can see that you're in faith. That you can see that you're in faith. Your faith comes into sight by what you do. It comes into sight. You can see that you're believing. You can check by what you do by whether or not you're really in faith or not. And this is why the actions are so important. And for some reason, I grabbed that as a young Christian. I got a hold of that fact. So acting on what we believe brings faith into the sight realm. It brings our faith into the sight realm. I'm acting out. Now remember, this acting out is an acting out of something that's unseen. You're acting like something's true that you haven't even seen it yet. This is where most people have a hard time. Just like people have a hard time confessing something they can't see, and they have a hard time acting like something they can't see is real. This is why most Christians have a very hard time even coming into the faith realm, because you got to operate it out of the inner man and not the outer man. And the inner man does the believing, and they can't see the inner man, so it's hard for them. They only believe what goes on their head, what they can see around them, and that kind of stuff. It's hard for them to do. One of the great benefits that I had as a sinner was I believed totally in a realm that exists where you can't see, that dominated. I believe the spirit realm dominated things. I believe it ruled. I didn't hang around Christianity because all the Christianity I had been around as a young boy growing up only believed in what it could see. And they would talk about God and God's a spirit and blah, blah, blah. But they never lived and acted like there was a realm around them that you couldn't see that was dominating everything. I believe there was a realm that dominated everything. And so since the church offered me nothing, I went over to the occult because they believed in that realm. Don't get mad at the devil worshipers. At least they believe in the spirit realm more than most Christians believe about the spirit realm. Now, I'm just telling you the truth. I know people, they moved away. They got over to things. Loads of young people today have left the areas of Christianity, and rightfully so, because of the deadness of Christianity. Christians don't live like there's a realm that they're hooked into that is dominating and ruling. They don't live like it's so. They're living like, we're trying to get along down here, and we're just trying to get by. I'm trying to hold on till Jesus gets back. I ain't holding on to nothing. He's done holding on to me. I'm in Christ and Christ in God. What on earth am I holding on to? Please pray for me that I might prove true and faithful to the end. you get over there, getting the reality, living in a reality, living in this realm, acting like the spirit realm is real. Is it real to you? I'm going to tell you what, it's real to me. I talk things all the time. I talk to beings. I talk to God. I talk to Jesus, beings I cannot see nor feel, and I talk to them all the time, and I act like, you know, they're around. I act like they're listening to me. I just can't stand to listen. A lot of people pray because they're like, well, I'm trying to pray to get through to God and all this stuff. God's listening to me. He ain't deaf and dumb. He ain't stupid. I can talk to Him anytime I want to talk to Him. And He's hanging around me all the time. The Holy Ghost, God the Holy Ghost is inside of me. Dear Lord. I'm not trying to get in contact with God. Well, if I can just get through. There's a good statement of unbelief that'll keep you bound for, you know, as a Christian. I'm not trying to get through. Maybe other than my thick head and yours too. But, folks, you know, it's like, get the point. The spirit realm is a place of reality. And start living like that realm is in this realm doing things. Live like it's so. Make your actions according to the unseen realm. And that unseen realm will start to manifest into this realm. But as long as you act like it's not, don't be surprised. It is easy. It is absolutely easy to get the spirit realm to manifest in this realm. It's the easiest thing. I could do it as a sinner. I could get demons to manifest themselves. Ask my wife. I got over into that stuff, and we started having manifestations of demons in our home. Spirits started showing up. Easiest thing in the world. It's hard for Christians because Christians don't live like it's true, it's real. See, when I come over and got born again and I went to a church, went to a spirit-filled church, God sent me there. To me, it was the most disappointing place I went to in my life. Because they believed all, they said all these things, they believed in the Word of God, but they sure didn't live like any of it was true. I just couldn't believe, when I got around them, I thought, these people really don't believe the spirit realm's real. What they do, they say all this stuff from Scripture, but they aren't living like this, like you know, there's a spirit realm, and they're in contact with it. They don't live in that manner. They don't act like it's true. They're always struggling and trying to get through to God. I struggle with my flesh, but I don't ever struggle with God. You know, Jacob wrestled with God. He was an unsaved man trying to get. I ain't wrestling with God. Jesus took the wrestle right out of me. I'm fighting the good fight of faith. I'm not fighting and wrestling with God. It's about me and my flesh. It's about me and my stuff. If there's any wrestling, that's the wrestling that's going on. Most people are wrestling with God and in the wrong wrestling match. Because he ain't wrestling. He doesn't sit down and they don't know. They just have a little figment in their mind that they're playing with all the time. And the devil keeps them over in that place. We're not wrestling with God. Hallelujah. Jesus settled all that one. Hallelujah. So but we got to live like that's real. Like that's true. Hallelujah. Now, so we want to hook up. Now listen here what, and we go down here to verse 19. Listen what James makes a statement here. James says this in verse 19. You believe that there is one God. He said, you do well. He said, even demons believe and tremble. Now listen, you know what he's saying? It ain't no big deal that you believe there's one God. You think you're something because, I believe in God. He said, the devil believes that. it's good to believe there's one God, but he said the devil believes it. What good is it doing him? What good is it doing you to believe that there's one God? If you can't get hooked up with Him and get the things you want or need, you can't make it work, what good is it? See, if I was in today and shoved into most Christianity, I'd quit Christianity at a drop of a hat. I'd throw it down and go home if I had to live with the belief that most people walk around with. The devil believes. See, it doesn't do us any good to believe things and walk around and live like, you know, they're not true. Now the devil knows there's a God, and he's living. The devil acts out like there is a God. Now he turned around and he won't tell you that there's a God. He'll try to act like he's God, but he knows the truth. We need to start acting it out. But he says, verse 20, but do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Listen what James says. You're acting like a fool if you don't put action to your faith. You're acting like a fool. If you don't put action to your faith, you're foolish and you're doing foolish actions. Think about that. I can be believing the right thing and saying the right thing, but not acting and doing the right thing makes my believing and my faith, what I say, foolish. It amounts to nothing. It amounts to nothing. It doesn't produce anything. It doesn't produce nothing. James said, I'm foolish if I do that. I'm a fool. See, if we read the Word of God, it might stun us a little bit sometime. But see, this why they don't preach and use these scriptures and ever explain them, because people get uncomfortable because it deals with us. Have you ever been a fool? If you haven't, you're the biggest liar in this place. We'll have an altar call because you definitely need saved. You're definitely a heathen. Because all liars are going to be in the lake of the fire. I ain't going there. Done foolish things with so-called faith. Done dumb things. Hallelujah. The only way you get that stuff changed is you admit it. You don't keep going along and act like you're okay when you're not. Hallelujah. We've done dumb things, haven't we? Hallelujah, with our faith. We've acted foolishly. James brings it to light. James isn't doing this to hurt people. James wants people to come to the place where they walk and live this life, this glory that they can have. He wants you to have wisdom. That's his whole. He wants you to get, God gives it liberally. He wants you to understand how this faith walk works. I don't see how you can teach the faith walk without teaching James. I don't see how you could do it. Yet most faith people don't go there very much, or just allude to a little bit of a scripture and boom, they're out of it, man. Let's get out of this thing. James deals with your tongue. He deals about all the trouble the tongue causes. He just doesn't have a good positive message. That boy, he just needs a positive message. That's just that James, I don't know about him. Pray for James, folks. He's up there in heaven still trying to get straightened out. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we're going on here to this because we are talking about Abraham, in other words, actions of one's faith. And this is what we're dealing with there, actions of faith. Because we definitely need actions of faith. James, in James, the second chapter, verse 21 says this. Now listen what James brought in to about Abraham. He says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Wasn't he justified? He said, do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works, faith was made perfect, or by his actions. His actions. Again, God said something to told him to do something. He could have said, I believe it so, confessed it. He had to go do it. He had to go do it. In other words, believing something and saying something and not having actions that correspond to what was said, what was believed and done, it means nothing. He said, in the scriptures, the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. So man's justified through actions. Our actions. Not actions. We're not talking about works to be saved. We're talking about works that correspond to what we believe that bring the blessing of God into our life. That's what we're talking about. There's a way. You know, the Bible uses the term lots of times. It's in the New Testament. It talks about the word walk. And what it's talking about is the way you live. In other words, the actions of your life. That's my walk. Do you walk like the word's real? Or is your walk just mostly like everybody else's stuff? What you say you believe, is your walk in line with what you say you believe? Is it? See, we have to have a walk that matches what we believe. We have to have a walk. Why? Our faith becomes worthless. It becomes obsolete. It becomes, you know, it doesn't produce anything. It doesn't, our walk. And see, today they have this thing. Well, you know, if you have grace and you have the grace, God overlooks all this stuff. Because grace is so good. You don't have to walk right and you can still have the blessing. Just believe the right thing. Totally 100% unscriptural. Grace is tied to the rest of the Word of God. It's tied to actions, our conduct of life. No matter how much grace God offers, I'm going to reap what I sow. I'm not going to reap. If I sow to the Spirit, what do? I reap that stuff of grace. If I sow to the flesh, what do I reap? Corruption. You see, that's why the sloppy grace message leaves people in the place that I can just live any way or do anything, and I can make things work for me, and they'll just come along, and you know, it'll just all be all right. I want to talk about an area. One of the things that I said about Kenneth Hagin in his teaching, when I first started off as a young Christian, and you guys heard me talk about this, Kenneth Hagin would say this term all the time. He'd talk about acting on your faith, acting on it. And I would hear him, and somehow it just wasn't clicking for me of he saying acting on faith. Well, like, what does he mean, acting? What am I supposed to do? For some reason, it didn't click. Smith Wigglesworth says this, and Brother Hagin said about Smith Wigglesworth, he said this, he was a great man of faith. And Smith Wigglesworth, you said this. He would always say this all the time. Faith is an act. See, when you hear faith messages taught, do you hear him say that very much? No, he don't teach that. But see, I learned the truth of that. And see, I've told the story, and what this story I've told many times, but I'm going to tell it again because it is perfectly in line with actions. If I didn't have the right actions, I wasn't going to have what I was believing and saying. And the Lord dealt with me about it. And it happened after I was born again. I was, and I wasn't born again very long. It wasn't real long. I remember, you know, like I got born again in January, and it was sometime during the fall of that year. I mean, it don't come to me as quickly as Brother Hagin used to. You know, he knew the dates and that stuff, the hour, the minute, the second. You know, he'd say that stuff and that. Hallelujah. Anyhow, but I woke up one morning. I worked at Reese Candy Company, HB Reese Candy Company, and I woke up to go to work. And when I woke up, man, my stomach was just really messed up. And it was like, you know, this pains in my stomach. And I was laying there in bed, and I started to, because I had learned enough up to that time about confessing the word. See, I don't believe you have to be, you know, 10 years along to learn how to get this stuff works. Number one, you need to get in right teaching. If you're not, if you're having trouble in these areas, you might be listening to some people you need to quit listening to. If people you listening to ain't bringing you the place, it's either one thing, they could be teaching right and you ain't hearing, or they ain't teaching right. It could be a problem with you. Don't listen. Could be a problem. You got to deal with that. Do you really hear what somebody's saying? See, I don't know. You know, that's why I go over and listen to stuff over and over and over again, because there's things that I have a series that I've been listening to now for the last couple months. I've heard these things. There's six teachings in the series, and I've listened to them 100 times over there, just going over them. And I'm just amazed the things that click in me all of a sudden when I go over and listen to these things over and over again. And this is stuff I've listened to years ago, but it just, you go back over and it's just things click in you. It's going back over things all the time. But anyhow, so I'm laying in bed and I'm just feeling really bad. And it just came up in me. Now, I had been putting in me the Word of God. So what came up in me was 1 Peter 2:24. See, what you don't put in you ain't coming up in you when your problem comes. I want you to know, when you're squeezed, what you have not put into you ain't coming up in you. See, I had done put a lot. Man, my study concerning healing and things and my confessions I would do and that stuff concerning health and healing. So first thing that came up to me was 1 Peter 2:24. So I confessed. I was laying there and I just confessed lightly to myself. Wanda's laying in her bed. She didn't have heard me or anything. And I just confessed and said, 1 Peter 2:24. And then, you know, I went over and, you know, and concerning Isaiah's prophecy, which was quoted, which himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. And I said those things. And I said those things laying there in the bed, and I'm thinking, you know, nothing's changing. And I'm saying them. And then this thought just went through my mind. I never said it. And this is one thing. See, God can read your thoughts. He knows what you're thinking. You need to understand. He knows what you're thinking. Not to criticize you. He's going to help me. This thought just came through my mind. I'm going to call off work sick, and I'll call off work. And then, you know, but I'm going to believe God to be healed. That thought went through my mind. Inside of me, a voice spoke and said, if you call off work, you're going to stay in bed sick all day. Well, I didn't like that. That wasn't a positive message. That wasn't what I was believing. And that wasn't what I'm saying. And then that same voice said to me, do you believe 1 Peter 2:24? And I confessed that scripture. I said it out of my mouth. I said that scripture out of my mouth. And he said, you believe that? I said, yes. He said, well, then why don't you get up and act like it? See, I'd never put action. I said I believed I received my healing, but I never acted like I received my healing. I acted like I wasn't getting it. Now look, I can't teach you something else. I can only teach you how God taught me. That's the way I teach people. See, most people want some easy way out of thing, you know. They want some. There's things that I've learned over time. You've heard me say this. If you're a person who wants a day off work, you call in sick, and you like calling in sick because you get a day off. If you're doing that kind of stuff, you're going to destroy your faith. Because the day comes when you want to be well, you won't be, because you lie. You use your mouth to lie about things. When you ain't sick, saying you're sick. Or when you could go to work, you don't. See, you don't want to get into that stuff. You don't want to lie. You know, if your employer don't mind, that's up to him, you know. And, you know, some employers, they have sick days and you're just allowed to take them whenever you want to. Well, they allow you to do that. You don't have to lie to get it. You can do it. But if you got to lie to do it, you don't want to go there, because you don't want your voice saying things that ain't true. Because your spirit hears you and will try to bring those things to pass in you. Your spirit hears words. Those seeds get inside of it. It'll try to bring the wrong thing to pass. You make it seem like it's sick, good to be sick to get off work. Your spirit will help you get off work a lot. It'll work for you. And it's your, this is why there's many people have, they're sick and they're sick a lot. You, doctors cannot get them well because they keep producing the seeds they plant in themselves, keep coming to roost. There's no medication to take care of that. Your own spirit will keep trying to bring it to pass. Your own spirit tries to make it happen. You don't want to do that. It's just like you can't expect to throw seeds in the ground and them not come up if you water them. They're going to come up, folks. I don't understand why them weeds are coming up. I keep planting them, but they just keep coming up. Wonder why? I've been going around collecting all those dandelion seeds and I've been throwing them over there. Why do they come up? Your spirit does the exact same thing. Your spirit will try to bring to pass the wrong things that you put in it. It'll work at it. Those seeds get inside. You don't want to get those seeds inside of you. But anyhow, the Spirit of the Lord asked me and said to me, well, you know, if you believe that, why don't you act like it? That stunned me. I'd never rang on the bell to me up to that point. Why don't you act like it? And then he said to me, he said, if you were well, what would you do? And I said, well, I'd get up and go to work. He said, well, do you believe you received your healing? And man, the light come on to me. I had never seen it that way before. See, my actions had to correspond to what I said I was believing. And so I got out of bed. Didn't feel better at all. In fact, the more I moved around, the worse it felt, you know, because, and I did. But, you know, there's one thing as I learned. See, I'm not going to be dead faith guy because if I don't put my works, I won't get any profit. If I don't act in line with the word, I'm not getting any profit. Remember what James wrote and said? A guy who asks for wisdom and he don't ask in faith, don't let him think he's going to get anything from God. Well, I wanted something. I wanted something. And so I said I believed I received something, so I have to act like I received something. So I got out of bed and got ready to go to work, and I just felt better. To this day, I can see myself with the mirror in the bathroom. I shaved without looking in the mirror. I was just there like, ugh, man. I felt like I had to throw up, and I couldn't. And I was cramps in my stomach, and it was awful. And I tell you what, I really felt bad. But I'm here doing this thing. Because why? I've heard from God. God gave me a revelation. And so I went out, I got dressed for work, got in my car, driving to work. Until I got to work, every symptom had left my body. I was completely well when I got there. Nothing. See, it paid off. I got the profit from my actions. The Lord said, if you don't put actions to this, you're going to be in bed all day sick. I learned this principle. I've made this thing work over the years so many times. So many times that I've had a problem come on to me, and within a day's time, it's gone. I've had a sore big toe. It's so bad I put a shoe on it. Oh, my words. Pain. Got up to go to work. Said, I believe I've received my healing. Boy, I tell you, going to work. It literally would bring tears to my eyes to step on there. And, you know, you can't go to work without a shoe. So, oh, man, putting that shoe on bring tears to my eyes. I mean, it hurt. And I put that shoe on, and I was like, oh, it hurt. So driving to work, it wasn't too bad. But then I had to get out of the car. And I had a long walk across the parking lot to the building over there. But when I stepped out of the car, there was inside, the inner man started to rise up. He was mad. See, if you don't hook up to the inner man, you don't know the giant that's in you. If you only ever hook up to that guy that's on the outside of you all the time, you're a weenie. And that's all you ever hook up to is the weenie. My inner man got mad. I stepped out of that car, and I'll tell you what, that pain went through my foot. And I just said, that's it. I said, I'm walking over that door, and I'm heading out a long walk across the parking lot. I said, I'm walking over that door, and I refuse to take pressure off that foot. And I'll tell you what, I wanted to yell. I mean, when I started walking in, it hurt. Till I hit that door, every bit of pain left me. Worked all day, no problem whatsoever. Never had a bit of problem with it. See, people want something, but are afraid to go through anything to get it. See, that's why when the Lord told me to say the church is full of socialism, that's what socialism does to you. Socialism makes you weak and makes you want to get everything easily and not have to push through to get something. That's what socialism does to people. It takes the fight out of people. And the people know how to fight and get a hold of something, so socialism tries to get all their stuff. Oh, the government ought to do more. Take more from other people to give over to this guy who has a problem. We need to do that. All the lousy parents, we need to take care of their kids. Because we're love, the love church. No, it isn't. It's the socialist church. There's no love in it. Let's take care of everything. Let's take care. We're going to do it. We're going to bypass God on this thing. And if you work hard, we're going to take what you get. And we're going to give it to the guy. I don't give the government any money. They take it. Now, I ain't fighting them over it. They I pay taxes to whom taxes. They take the tax money. But it ain't my giving. They don't ask me to give a thing. We get these wonderful Democrats and Republicans that know how to take. And they're great takers on both sides. One just does it a little slower than the other one, but both of them hit the same mark eventually. Oh, yeah. There ain't no difference in the parties in this stuff. I'm tired of the Republicans saving me money. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. That's a good preach, folks. Hallelujah. But I learned this, I learned to practice this because if I don't put action, now let me see, that was an action. In other words, I had to act like what I believed, and God taught me this through this. I realized this. He was teaching me that I had to act like what I say I believe was true. I had to act like it was so. You're always going to have to find a way to put action to whatever you say you believe, because you will quit believing it and you'll just be mouth and stuff saying things. But you will do the things where we read over in Proverbs where a person, if their faith isn't brought to fruition, eventually their own heart, though, their own heart will get sick. After a while, this is many Christians today and many so-called faith people have sick hearts today. Because what they say and they believe they never comes to pass. And they got sick hearts. You know, I learned to do that. Just in another example, I'm just going to explain because we're going on teaching more and more about these things. But it is one of the things when I had back, I was going down to Mexico back a number of years ago. I was going to go down to Mexico. The Lord told me to go down. And so the day before I'm going down, it's in the afternoon. I'm packing clothing and stuff, but I'm actually standing in the bathroom getting some things ready that I'm going to be taking down, you know, and shaving stuff and different things I'm going to take along. I'm in the bathroom. I turn around, and man, a pain shot through my foot, and my left foot, pain shot through, and my foot just started swelling up. I mean, it just started, instantly started to swell. And pain? Wow. So I'm sitting there, and I made a confession about it. And I wasn't going to go to the doctor or anything about it. I wasn't going to go. But the Spirit of the Lord said to me to do this. At the time, I just thought it was sort of strange. But he said to me, I want you to go to the ER, and I want you to get that checked. I knew it was God talking to me. It's one thing. See, you got to learn to obey. You got to learn. God tells you to do something, you better learn to obey. This is why things don't work for people. They never obey nothing. They always set their direction. I learned from Kenneth Hagin. He used to pray it all the time, and I listened to him pray in Bible school, and he would pray when he had prayer. We'd have a prayer school. Brother Hagin would pray, and he would quote scripture to the Lord in prayer, and he'd say, but Lord, you want me to do something different. You let me know, and I'll do whatever you want. Do you have that in your prayer life? If you don't, you're in trouble. Because you'll just keep pushing in a direction when God's trying to send you another direction to give you the same thing. You got to learn to listen. The inner man, the Holy Ghost is in you. He knows everything. So anyhow, he told me to go. Well, I tell you, my foot was all ballooned up, and I couldn't get up on a ride or anything, and I knew I couldn't drive a car. I couldn't, you know, I wasn't going to be able to get in out of the car. So I called Wanda. She was, of course, she came, said, Lord told me to do it. So she came, took me in. They checked it out and said, you tore a ligament in your foot, and there really ain't anything we can do about it. So I thought, and I'm there thinking, Lord, what is this about? Wasted my time. What's this going on? What's happening here? And so they gave me this boot thing that you put on and strap on, and it has these ice pack things you stick in it, and it's really cute. You know, it's really nice. You had to walk around your underwear to keep it on because you couldn't get a pair of pants over to nothing anyhow. So I'll never forget the doctor said to me about this, and I said, well, I'm going down to Mexico. I'm leaving on a mission trip to Mexico tomorrow. See, I never changed. It's never when I learned this. I never, if God told me specifically about going down to Mexico, what I was supposed to do. When this thing happened, God didn't say to me, don't go to Mexico. Now, this is what most people, now I got to cancel my trip. Boy, I never canceled my trip. I said, God never, because Juan did ask me about it. What about going down to Mexico? I said, God didn't say I wasn't supposed to go. And I said, I'm going to Mexico. I said, that's it. Actions to your faith. See, most people will immediately switch directions and throw their faith right out the window. And then they'll walk around for 8 weeks with a torn ligament, limping around. I'm believing God. I said, God never changed what he said to me. And I said, I'm going to go. So I said to the doctor, I'm going down to Mexico. Oh, he said, you can down, but you got to keep your foot propped up. And I just laughed. And I'm laughing until I had to get up on my foot. I didn't laugh when I have to get up on my foot. That hurt. So anyhow, but I'm going to tell you what actions to faith. See, I learned this. I believed I received my healing. That's what I believed. I received my healing. I believe it was mine. That's what I'm supposed to do. Mark 11:24. When everything you desire when you pray, believe you receive it and you'll have it. So I believed I receive it. So my actions are like I have received something. Now, in the natural, to sight and feeling, didn't seem like I got anything. Doesn't seem like I have anything. But I'm believing and I'm making my actions. So I come home. I'm not all packed up and ready to go. So I was over and I went in and I sat down on the sofa because it was just work getting out of the car and into the house and that stuff. And I just sat down, propped my foot up at the couch there and sitting there. And Wanda said, do you want me to pack your stuff for you? And I said, no, honey. I said, you can't do that. Why? Because of why it was being done. As if I did. Now, she wasn't being mean. This was about me. What I'm going to let go on. I said, honey, I can't let you do that. I said, I have to do that. I believe I received my healing. I have to do that. See, most people can't wait to get somebody else to do something for them. And that's why your faith don't work. Woo! Good preaching, folks. Oh, that's today. Oh, and you know what? Some of you are a big problem because you're the enabler. You're always trying to take over somebody's stuff. You're a faith destroyer. Now, my wife would, one of the things is Wanda understood when I stepped in the areas of faith, we understand each other what we're supposed to do. We work good together in that area. We work good, and she knew. And I said, no, I said, I got to do it. And I got up the sofa, and I packed all my stuff and got it ready with that foot. And I did the whole thing. I got it. And I'll tell you what, it wasn't no fun. But one thing I started to notice, the pain wasn't as bad as it was. It wasn't quite as bad as it was. It was still bad enough, anyhow. So, I went and did this. Now, and folks, this is about acting out your faith. I'm not standing around complaining. I believed I received my healing. So, I learned this. I never forgot that morning. All those years before when the Lord told me, do you believe you got it? If you believe you have it, start to act like you do. So, the next morning I get up and I slept on the sofa because I could keep my foot propped up while I was on the sofa there and that stuff because, you know, I'm not really propped up out there because it's still swelled up. So in the morning I'm going to go to the airport. Wanda's going to take me to the airport in the morning. So I got up and I thought, well, I can't wear that boot. That boot thing ain't going to go. Because I thought, when I do that boot thing, I'm going to go down and go to the airport. I'm going to take a boot off and blah, 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 all this stuff. So I said, I ain't taking the boot. I threw it in the suitcase and closed it up. And I took I took one of those ace bandages and I wrapped my foot. I wrapped my foot around so I could get it in my sneaker. Because, see, sneaker expands good, you know. Yeah. You know, just had this little tie spot and all the rest of the strings are all stretched out. They're real wide. And I got this on my foot. And you know what? It felt wonderful. Oh, my God. So I'm going. And so, you know, I come up and going through security, and then you got to take your shoes off. I'm thinking on the other side. I'm walking, and my mind's going, you know, when you go on the other side, you got to put that shoe back on. I'm thinking, ugh, that's my mind. But in my heart, I'm thinking, I'm healed. I'm not going to let this thing get me down. I am not going to do it. God hasn't said, Ed, don't go on the trip. So we went through security, and I got all my stuff back together, got my shoes, and they have those benches you go sit down at and other stuff. And I went over to the bench, and I sat down, and my foot was just throbbing. It was throbbing. And I'm like, oh, man, it hurt. And I'm sitting there, and just inside of me, that voice rose up and said, take that ace bandage off of there. So naturally would seem like a dumb thing to do because you don't want that thing swelling up getting any bigger. I took the ace bandage off it, and instantly the swelling went down and I was healed. Instant. Just a snap of your finger. Bang. See, my action bought me profit. My action was going to put me over or keep me where I was. Folks, it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. See, it's one of the things that the Lord taught me as a young Christian started. He taught me about faith through my military training. Paul tried to teach Christians that. Being a good soldier. Most people don't have the discipline of a soldier, and they're never going to be good faith people. They're going to always have trouble. Soldiers do stuff out of obedience. You go do that. This is the order. This is what you do. Most people don't do that. They question every authority. They question everything. And when they come to God, they question everything too. I'll tell you what, I would have never developed to where I am in faith if I would have listened to most of the ministers that were over me in authority. Because they would always tell me this, well, now look, you got to use wisdom. And what they were saying, you got to have a little bit more unbelief, Ed. You just got to add a little bit more unbelief. Don't get so extreme. Now, back about 5 years ago, the Lord spoke this to me and said, do you know why you've had so many instantaneous miracles? He said, because you do extreme things. What is he talking about? It's my actions. I would act, and he wasn't talking about extreme doing weird stuff. He's talking about extreme to what other people do. See, he's the one that taught me. I would do the actions. You have to have the actions with your faith. You got to act like what you say believe is true. You got to act like it's so. You got to find a way. Sometimes with things, maybe the most you can do is make a confession, but you ought to get a smile on your face if you believed you received something. See, most people act down and depressed, and they're always acting whiny and saying, I'm believing God. I know they ain't believing God because I can see the actions on their face. They don't believe they got anything. They're only going to believe they get it when they feel better or something happens or something. I know it. And I'm not saying this to be mean to anybody. It's obvious. Look, folks, I know how it works. The Lord told me to tell people this. If you tell them, if they will listen to what you tell them to do and tell them this, if they'll listen to you and do what you tell them to do, tell them it'll work every time. It works. I'm proving this thing out time and time over the years. My back was out. Pain was so darn bad. I was hurt. Got up out of bed. I tell you, brought tears to my eyes getting out of bed. Sunday morning to come and preach to you heathens. Just kidding. I was just kidding. Hard time. Get up, go preach. I didn't feel like preaching to nobody. But this principle I learned. I believed I received my healing. And I'll never forget. I got up and I got dressed. And I picked a briefcase up. And when I picked the briefcase up, man, oh, you talk about hurt. It was like somebody stuck a needle in my back. And I just, oh, and I stood there in tears. And Wanda said, are you going to go to church like that? And I just looked at her and I said, if I don't, I'm going to be dealing with this thing for weeks. If I don't. See, if you don't mind being sick for weeks, keep doing what you're doing. Folks, I'm teaching you some good things. Now, understand this. Most of you have not done near the study that I've done in the areas of faith to believe where I'm talking about. You're going to have to get into it till you get sold out. But you can't see it. You can't do it just coming here Sunday listening to me teaching. If you ain't doing it during the week and getting into it during the week, forget it. It ain't going to work this way for you because you ain't going to be able to maintain it. See, I pushed in the area. Well, I went to church. And we were out at the Youth for Christ building, and we had a set up and stuff, and I'm out there with my back wanting to cry, setting up. Hallelujah. But you know what? I got in the pulpit and started to preach, and anointing come on me, and everything left. It all left. It all left. See, I know people, and they just wait for months and months dealing with their backs. I'm sorry. I'd rather push through something and get well than spend months of playing these games around. You're going to decide what you're going to do. You're going to decide that. See, we're thinking it's God. But many times what we do either puts us over or destroys us. See, we need to sit down. We need to look. When I believe something, you need to stop and say, now, if I believe this is true, what would I do? What do you do if what you believe is true? What do I do about this? You know, you're believing God. Now, there's things like, you know, you're believing God for money. Don't go out here and buy something and, you know, that you can't afford to buy. But that's believing God for money in there. But don't go around talking like you can't afford such and such. You can't. If you need that thing and you want that thing and you're believing God, then talk about it. Talk about you believe you receive that. Talk about believing you receive it. Quit talking about like you're trying to get it. You know, we learned in the, Wanda and I learned the areas of money, you know, and I've told you guys this work before, our actions of faith. You know, we go on vacation. We want to go on vacation. My actions of faith were this. We know we'd have it. We didn't have it. You know, we didn't have any money to go on vacation. We didn't have the money to do it. So, but we said, we're going on vacation. We're going to go on a good vacation. So we would start and believe, and we would go on this vacation. We'd start making a confession. We're going to go such and such a place. We'd even set a date. We're going to go. We would call. These are my actions. My actions. I would call and make hotel reservations. You don't need any money to make a hotel reservation. But I make hotel reservations. I start acting like it's true. We start making preparations for that trip. You take your time off of work or whatever it is. This is what you set yourself for. You start doing it. I've had no money to do it whatsoever. Not a nickel to do it. But made all the plans. And when anybody asked us what we were doing, we would tell them exactly what we're doing. We're going such and such. This week we're going to be going here or we're going to be going there. All of our actions coincided with it. We have never had one time. We've gone on cruises and everything like this. Never one time did the money not come. Never once. Many people that try to do those things, most people do it when they have the money. Then I go do it. I feel sorry for you. You need to come to the place where you use your faith and don't use your money sometime and stop doing that. Because you're never going to rise to nothing. It's easy to use the money you got. It don't take no faith to do that. See, this is why it's one thing the Lord told me concerning the church. Never allow the church to pay you enough money to meet all what you want. Always have your desires greater than what they could ever give you. Why? God wants me to maintain my faith out there. You don't want a job that can meet all your needs. If you ever get one of them, you're going to be Mr. and Mrs. Faithless in about next year. You won't be able to believe God for nothing because you'll just live off your money. And when you have to believe for something, you won't be able to do it because you won't practice. These are actions to faith, folks, I'm talking about. A life that you live and a way that you walk. You ought to put something out there sometime that you're believing beyond your means. You got to extend yourself beyond your pocketbook to believe for something, God to carry out something for you beyond where you are. If your faith is always going to be limited to how far you'll act out from beyond. It's always limited. It can't go beyond that. It's an impossibility. Going beyond there. You know, you look at some of the big ministries, like Kenneth Copeland, like say his ministry. Well, he don't sit down and think about, you know, what money just he has coming. He always coming up with something that's bigger than what he got. Wow, but people say, well, his faith. Well, see, his faith good because he's always using his faith for something. He does something with it. He ain't sitting around waiting for, most people, they're sitting around waiting for somebody else to do something with their faith and give it to them. You go get the money and come and give it to me. The government definitely don't operate off of faith. They operate off of your pocketbook. But see, setting yourself, and that's why this. And I learned, because there's things that I desire that are greater, and you want to do that. You want to have your faith out for things. Just because you can buy something, that don't mean you go buy it. Use your faith to get it. Sit down and say, you know what, I ain't going to use it. I'm going to believe God, he's going to bring that thing to me. You need to come to that place. You'd find out how fast your faith would start to grow when you'd finally see your faith work one time. This is one thing, is my faith has always developed and grown further is because I've always kept it and maintained it. Most people go from years in between before they ever really use their faith much in anything. And by the time they get to there, they forgot what it was the last time. And so it really don't do much for them. You have stuff all the time you're walking in, you're living in. Things that you're doing all the time that you're talking. See, when the Lord dealt with me about money, he said, don't believe for money anymore. The time when you need it, he goes, get your faith out in advance. He said, have your faith calling money in when you don't even need it, but you're calling money in. Because then when the need comes, your faith's already bought it. Most people, they operate just at the time the need comes, and usually it's too late to get it. Because when you're going to deal with money in this earth, you're going to deal with other people. And if you're not quick to give, don't expect it to quickly come to you either. This is all about actions. This is about actions, a life given. You know, I want to be obedient. When God puts it in my heart to give, you know, Wanda and I learned over the years concerning giving. If we just get a sense to do it, I don't even sit around and say, God would have to put a stop sign in the middle of the road for me. We're going to give it. I'm not going to get myself, oh, well, I need to pray about that. If I get a sense to do it, the money's going out. If Wanda gets a sense to do it, we give the money out. We don't sit around and wait for that. I say, wow, these are my actions. This is my faith alive and working in the realm of the unseens around me, but I'm acting like it's seen. I'm living like money's coming to me when I can't see nothing coming to me. This is how you do it. This is the way it works. This is how it happens. See, I don't know what, I had these things taught to me when I was young, but I was a young Christian, but we don't have this stuff talking. They don't deal with the down and dirty, what it takes to produce. They always make seeds like fluffy. The minute, just put money in the offering plate and it's going to work for you. Bunch of junk. It's a bunch of junk. It works good. This is what the Lord told me. Yeah, that works good for them for collecting money, but it don't help my people. It's not helping my people. They're not getting blessed. You got to tell them how it works. If many of those ministers, I'd love to see a lot of these ministers bleed money in without saying anything to anybody. I'll tell you, most of them couldn't. If you shut the airwaves off on them and them sending you letters, most of them would close up in 2 weeks. I am tired of hearing ministers saying, well, the Bible says, let your requests be made known. The Bible says, let your requests be made known to God. I've had that said to me, well, you're supposed to let your request be made known. I said, why don't you go read the rest of the verse? You took the part that you like so you don't have to stand in faith so you can go around hounding people for money. God didn't tell you go tell everybody what you need. He said you go to your closet, pray in secret, and God will reward you openly. That's how God taught me about money personally in my life. That's why I never go around and tell people my personal needs. Never. I don't tell people my personal needs. I talked to God about him. God would have to specifically tell me to go talk to somebody about my need. He would specifically have to tell me to do that. Because I don't find in Scripture tells me to do that. That is what's preached among people. I go to God privately, go and tell him what I need and what I believe he'll give me, and then I go act like it's on its way. That's my job. My job isn't to tell somebody else about it. Folks, this is good preaching. And see, personally, you need to learn to start to operate in that. You need to go between you and God. You're never going to know how much God loves you and how much He wants to do stuff to you. Till you and Him get personal together into your life. Where He's working for you, when you get down and say, my God, I can just go to Him. I don't have to run to get anybody else. My wife, we've had money, we've had cars given to us. We've never run around and told anybody about anything we need. Never. I don't do it. If I can't, God can't make it happen, He ain't big enough. He ain't who He said He was. And most people, their actions prove they don't believe their God's very big. They got to go make it happen. Our God's big. And I'm talking about there's nothing matter if ministry's telling people, you know, they're doing certain things. There's nothing matter, but there's some of it's carried way too far. They're always got something. They're always after them. They're complaining they ain't got enough money to do the things they are doing now, and they open up a new project. That ain't nothing but the devil conning people for money. I know personally because the companies that deal with these, they hire these companies. There's a company called Multimedia out in Tulsa, and this is what they would tell ministries to do. Always have a certain thing that you're a project that you were really, you know, you don't have enough money for. Always have one of those because then you can send the letters out to people, and that's what they do. Oh, we have this dire need. So you always make sure you have a dire need. That's what they tell them to do, to bring money in. Have you ever seen a ministry send you something that don't act that way? There's few and far between. You send a ministry a thing send them some money. And what do they do? They send you a thing back and the letter comes back asking for more money. They can't send you a thank you without asking their hand. I'm going to tell you, I am so sick of that. I am sick. I throw Christmas cards away from ministries because they send you a Christmas card with a thing in it to give them money. They, dear Lord, they can't even, what is this? Unthankful, ungrateful. That's what it is. This stuff, see, these are actions against one's faith. This teaches people wrong things. You don't act in that manner. Somebody gives you something, you be thankful. You go to them, you don't go to them and have your hand out again. You need slapped upside the head if you do. It turns me off. As well as a minister, I wouldn't give money to because I'm sick of their junk. Ungrateful, unthankful to people. They don't appreciate people. You can't send something without putting something in for more. Yeah, I wouldn't send a thank you and then have a thing in it, give me more. And it goes, my garbage can is a wonderful place to file. Hallelujah. Because I'm going to tell you what, it's the devil's stuff. It belongs in the garbage. Unthankful, ungrateful. I would be ashamed to stand in front of you people as generous as you've been to me and act like I ain't got enough and you got, you know, asking you to get your hand in my pocket. I can't do that. It's just like with the board. I won't even read out of the bulletin concerning offerings. Even I won't even read them because I will not ask you. The board says they want to do it. They can do that. I won't personally ask you to give me any money. I will not do it. Why? Because of my faith. I want to maintain my faith. You're not a dollar sign to me. You're God's children. And you can hear from God, and whether you gave me any money or not, wouldn't make a thing of whether I liked you or not. Ain't got a thing in the world to do with it. Has nothing. God's responsible to meet my needs, not you. And see, when you get over, when people become a mark, I don't want to go there. I ain't a mark for Jesus. Jesus wants to use me so He can bless me and do things, and He wants to bless under people. He don't make have me looking people or a mark to get something. He don't walk around like that. Do you see His ministry in that way? No. See, there needs to be some changes. The Lord spoke to me very harshly about ministries and named ministries to me back in 2014 about the stuff that they're doing and how disgusted He is over the money thing in ministries. Because why? It turns people out like they are. We become like they are. I don't want to become like they are. I don't want to become like that. I don't want to look at people. You're a mark to me, something I can just get something out of. That I need an offering from you. I'd hate to think. I don't want to go there, folks. See, I like the words true. I got to live like I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Not trying to get them, but I'm already blessed with them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, I always thought about it. The Apostle Paul wrote and said to the one church, he wrote to him and said, you know, that he had more than enough and he's blessed. And I thought, I never heard a ministry ever send a letter out like that. I never ever saw one do that. I said, my word, you talk about something different. That I have enough and I have less. I said, man, they never have enough. They never. You could give you could give a ministry $1 billion today and next week they'll be sending out stuff trying to get more money. They'll never have enough. See, we're missing it and we don't see it. This is one thing has slowed up the move of God and why we haven't had the move of God. We want glory while we got hands in people's pockets lying, cheating, and stealing. We're not living in line with what the Word says. We're not acting like the Word's true. I'm going to tell you what, God can bring money in that we need. God can bring healing to us. He can bring any deliverance we need. It is enough if we get in line with the Word, begin to act like the Word's true. We won't get our hands in each other's pockets. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, people will know to help somebody. God can get a hold of somebody. Isn't it better when God can get a hold of you to something to do for somebody rather than somebody has to come and tell you? Do you want to live that life all the time that somebody has to come and tell you? I don't want to go there. And I don't want to be one of them people that I feel I have to go tell somebody all the time. I don't want to go there. If my God can't make this thing work, then He's not what He says He is. There's a place of faith you and I have to go to and have to walk in that brings glory. And I want to go that place where I can stop and say without a shadow of a doubt, God did that for me. Even though he might have used people, but I know he did it for me because I didn't go to them and try to get them to do it for me. I didn't go to somebody else and try to get them to work it out. I prayed and God dealt with people. That's what we would want to become, a church where you hear God and he's working in people and doing things, because he always ends up getting the glory. People get glorified. That's why there's so many ministers are glorified today. They're the big deal. And when that happens, you know it's not God. Because God ain't making big deals. Jesus is the big deal of the church. Without him, I can do nothing. Now, I can do all kind of natural stuff, but you can't live the faith life without him. You can't live the life of glory without him. That's an impossibility. He does through men what men could never do. And I want to see the signs that men can never do. I want him to do through me what I could never do. I want him to shine in his glory. And they stop and say, it ain't bright enough to do that. That had to be God using that idiot. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. So many people want to be seen. They want to be, I want Jesus seen. I want his glory manifested. Hallelujah. And if we act like the spirit realm is real and it's true, and we act like it's so and live like it's so, and walk like it's so, God's word says it, then that's the end of the story. We're not going, no matter what anybody else says or does, this is what we're walking in. That's where we want to walk to. I feel so sorry for so many Christians. Because I tell you, they're just being taken advantage of and weakened by Christianity. Making helpless people. You're not helpless before God. God anointed you to come to his presence. Come boldly to the throne of grace. When you're in trouble, it requires the anointing of God. You come to the come boldly to the throne of grace. Because if you come in the flesh, you'll come whining and weeping and everything else. Instead of walking in and say, God, I belong here. I've messed up, but I want to thank you. I've been a mess, but you got mercy for me. Hallelujah. And I want to thank you. You said there's grace to help in time of need, so I'm here to get the grace. Hallelujah. I'm here at the place. I need the grace because I've done my part. And my part stinks. Now I need to do what I'm supposed to do under your anointing. Hallelujah. Let's get some of that grace on me. Hallelujah. That's what we want. And that's what he's designed it to work. He's designed it to work that you need him. You need him to do it. And when you think about it, you say, God, I'm coming to you. And you're giving me the anointing to do it. This acting things out and doing things, I'm going to do it under the anointing of God. Hallelujah. I believe what the word says. I can act like the word's true. I can act like it's so. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes a person, you know, Kenneth Hagin told a story concerning a woman who was in a wheelchair. She had been in a wheelchair for 4 years, and it's a good story. This happened many years ago, but the simplicity of just using and believing the Word of God. He had been ministering, and, you know, God, he ministered, like lots of times people think about, they see a healing ministry, they see a person operating, and they think they're operating under gifts of the Spirit. Sometimes people, a person who has a healing ministry, they operate under a special anointing of healing. Kenneth Hagin did, Benny Hinn does. You might see sometimes a gift of healing, but many of the times you see the operation of a special anointing that's on an individual. And the Lord spoke to me about some of these things, about these things. And see, you see them. Kenneth Hagin, he talked about the fact he had a healing anointing. And he said, now sometimes he said a gift of healing will operate through me on certain things, but he said most of the time I minister and it's under the healing anointing when Jesus touched my hands and gave me that anointing. He said, that's what it is. And he said, see, people say, well, they're operating gifts of healing. No, they're not. See, the body of Christ knows little about this kind of stuff. Because most ministers don't know nothing about it either. They never spend enough time to God to find out anything. If they would have listened to somebody, they'd have found something. But anyhow, this woman, he was ministering, and the healing anointing lifted off of him. And so this woman was brought up after other people were ministered to. But they brought her up, and He said to her, she was sitting in the wheelchair, and he sat down like here would have been for the platform, and she's in front of him. And she set him there, and he'd ask her about what she come for. You know, you need to talk to people to find out, locate their faith. You know, a lot of people come, they want healing, but they ain't no position to receive it. They ain't no position in the world to get it. They want it. Wanting don't get it. Wanting don't make it happen. And so he said to her, and she said, she wanted the Lord to heal her. And he said to her, do you know that the Lord already healed you? And she just looked at him startled. She said, well, what do you mean? And so he opened the scriptures. And gave 1 Peter 2:24, and he said, read that. He said the last part of the verse. He had to read it an over a number of times. Now, he said because it says, by his stripes you were healed. He said the word were. He said, is that past tense, present tense, or future tense? And she said, well, it's present tense. She said, if I were healed, then she said, I am healed. He said, yeah, that's what I'm trying to tell you. You are healed. And he said, what you need to do, he told this woman, he said, what you need to do is start to thank God that you are healed. See, most people are trying to get to do it, never do this stuff. They never do these things. And this is why it's so hard for people to get things. Because, see, they're trying to get God to give them something when something he's already given. And she saw that, and he said, she raised her hands there, and he said, I listened to her, and he said, it was just a blessing to listen to her, because he said, she got that thing. She raised her hands. She said, Lord, I'm just so glad that you healed me. She said, I've been so tired of being in this chair, and I just want to thank you that I don't have to be in this chair anymore. Now, she's sitting in a chair and can't get out of it. Well, she's sitting there, and he said, she went on and on about that, just thanking the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. I am so glad you healed me. And she went on for a period of time, and he said, I got myself and the people in the church to start thanking God that she was healed. And we were all just thanking God that she was healed. And he said, finally, and I stopped and said, well, sister, since you're on healed, why don't you get up out of the chair? And she jumped up out of the chair, started dancing around. Now, you see, her voice, her actions of her voice became an action of what she believed. Most people never do that. Most of the time when I lay hands on this church on people, and I say, people are silent. And they walk away silent and never say a thing or do things and walk. I don't care what you're thinking. Thinking don't bring anything to pass. Your voice brings to pass. How many times do people say, thank God I'm healed. Thank God the hands laid on me and I'm healed. You know, Todd Levin has done this a number of times at Todd's here. Todd would pray for people and then he'd tell them, now this is what you need to do. When you go home, you need to say, last night, whatever the date was at a certain time, the hands were laid on me and the healing anointing went in me, and thank God that I'm healed. He said, you need to go home and do that and confess that and confess that a number of times a day. I know this for the fact, the people that he tells to do that never do it. And they'll be back again for healing again and they'll go through it and they're never going to get healed. Disobedient will not act like the word's true. Disobedient, their faith is dead. Their faith is dead. Their faith is dead. You need to understand that. See, we're teaching. I don't care I teach you these things. If you don't do them, don't even bother trying the faith thing. Just go to the doctor or whatever else. Just get with it. At least get healed something that way, get help. But it's not going to work. You do these things because everybody ain't going to instantly get healed. We lay hands on the sick and said they recover. There's recovery. If you're using faith, you should always heal faster than what somebody does through natural. Always. Or you have no proof there was any faith involved in it. If it takes you as long to get well as it does, if it takes you as long to get through the flu as it does a sinner, you know this, your faith didn't do anything in that thing. You should always recover faster. You know, just like Wanda had a high-speed recovery. We know God was in it. When she had that operation, her recovery was, my words, 3 weeks, the surgeon couldn't believe who he was looking at. See, we come. Why? Faith produces something. Most people don't expect, and they act like their faith ain't going to produce something. I can listen to what they say about it. Well, the doctor said. I don't go around. I don't believe. The doctor can say what he wants. He can tell me it takes 10 weeks. I ain't taking 10 weeks. He can take 10 weeks. I won't be. My job is not to go around and tell everybody what the doctor said. And then throw this little religious junk on the end of it somewhere. Well, I'm a trust in the Lord, which means it's spit. Folks, we need to be blunt about these things. Why they haven't worked. I've proved this stuff out. It works. It works. It works. But it requires pushing through from what everybody else is doing and what everybody else is carrying. You're going to have to push past that. You're going to have to do it. You're going to have to go past this thing to know, I'm not going to lay down on this thing. No, I ain't taking 6 weeks of getting well. Many Christians, I can be off work 6 weeks. Oh, boy. Well, you're going to need the 6 weeks, and you do, and the next time your faith comes, you probably won't even get it in six. If you're a loafer, you ain't getting nothing. God don't bless the hand of the lazy. He said he blesses the hand of the diligent. All this works. Healing works that way. Finances, it's the diligent. You know, just like with giving. Wanda and I are diligent givers. We constantly do it. We don't once in a while give an offering. We are constant. We're diligent. So money will come to us. We're diligent. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. We're diligent. Just like working, doing a job, whatever I have to do, I'm going to be diligent. I'm going to get it done. We're going to go work at being diligent, putting your hand to things, putting your faith to things, standing and doing stuff. You become diligent. I'm not a part-time giver. I'm a full-time giver. Hallelujah. That's my lifestyle. My lifestyle is giving. Hallelujah. That's what I am. I'm a giver, whether it's money or whatever else. I'm a giver. That's my lifestyle. Because why things always come back to me when I ask the Lord, I say, because I deal with ministers, and ministers will talk about, trying to get stuff from God and this stuff. God gives me more than I could possibly ever preach out. My God. All the time. And I asked the Lord one time, why these guys say this stuff? And I said, you give me so much. He said, because when you get stuff, you give it away. He said, they don't. Why? Their actions don't correspond. God ain't loading you up with stuff so you just hug a pew in here and hug a seat. If you ain't using it, you ain't have no need for it anymore. You don't need for not something you ain't gonna use. Well, Mars, I'm gonna go to college and I'm gonna go train in this and that and go. I ain't gonna ever do it. I'm just gonna go get a degree, okay? And then we're just gonna go get it. You want to do that in life? Well, no, I don't want to do that. I'm just gonna pay all the money to get it, and I'm just not gonna do it. See, God doesn't, and whether you know. God's not giving pearls to swine. Now, we don't like to think of ourselves being the pig, but there's many Christians are pigs. They become fat and lazy, filled with all kinds of stuff, but they don't do anything with it. They don't do anything. They sit and fill themselves with things of God, but it's always just about them and just about filling me with stuff. Man, this stuff is to use. This stuff's to get well. God wants you well to portray that to other people, to live a life, not just so you can be well and go on vacation all the time. Now, I'm not taking vacations, folks. I'll take vacations. But you know what? I don't take vacations because things are so pressed I need to get away. I want to know why you're living under such pressure. You don't know how to walk by faith. I don't take vacations because I get away because I'm about ready to blow up. I know this, I'm out of the will of God if that's taken place. If I can't take it under pressure, there's something wrong with my faith. There's something wrong with me. I need to deal with me because I don't want to go on vacation because when I come back off vacation, I'm going to enter the same thing again and I'm going to be just as miserable as I was. And I don't want 3 and 4 days on vacation while me trying to get out of my misery. I pay for vacations because I want to enjoy it. See, your action, now this is about actions, folks. I know we're going lengthy here, but I'm teaching about actions. See, people's actions are wrong about the things they do. I get this stuff all the time about, ministers under such pressure, and and I'll tell you what, and it's just so hard for them in the ministry. And I said, Fred Price said this years ago. He said, who are you working for? He said, Jesus said, my burden is easy, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. He said, who are you working for? I'm not under pressure. If God can't make it work, I can go get another job. My job ain't to carry the pressure of it. What you do or don't do, good luck. I ain't carrying the pressure of it. I don't have to, and I'm not supposed to. Cast your care on Him. Nobody ever cast their care on Him and had a nervous breakdown. That never happened. You know how many ministers have nervous breakdowns and have all kinds of stuff? Loads of them. If you'd hear them sit around and talk to each other, see, you'd, most of you don't ever see them. I'd see them at meetings and see these ministers' meetings and go to them and think, I hated to go to the ministers' meetings because I didn't want to be around them. No wonder the people have such a hard time. The minister preaches what he can't do. He can't trust God, and he's telling them to. He does nothing but pass on the spirit that's on him. Folks, that's what we're going to do. What's on me is all I can pass on. I can't pass something else on. I ain't God. I pass on what's on me. I can't be a nervous wreck and try to help you. I'll just make you a nervous wreck. You don't need to be a nervous wreck. You don't need... There's enough regular pressure of life with having to go to church and get another demon. Hey, Paul wrote, little leaven leavens the whole lump. They don't deal with the stuff in the church. It gets on people. Ministers who can't handle things gets on their people, and you start finding the people have problems, start having the same things happening to them. We don't need that. Hallelujah. We're supposed to walk in deliverance. Hallelujah. That's where we're supposed to go. We're preaching deliverance. If somebody's under pressure, he don't need some other pressure put on him. My God. And come to church and get it. We want to get out from under this stuff, dear Lord. Hallelujah. That's why I didn't like to go to these meetings, because I didn't want to be around these ministers and talking this junk. Said, we need to go there and fellowship with, shall fellowship. They say, we need to get together and fellowship. With what? The devil? To hear your sorry story? Fred Price got up in a ministers' conference that was almost 2,000 ministers there out in Tulsa. And what they had is the main speakers were up complaining about all the hardness of ministry, and they're up there, oh boy, and oh, pray for us and this and that. And Oral Roberts stood up and walked up and he said, Brother Fred Price, he said, I believe God has something for you to say. And Fred got up and was very, you know, sort of straight, and I know he was just contemplating and thinking. And that's when he walked up and he said, I don't, not listen to you guys talk. He said, I don't know what ministry you're in. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden's light. Whose ministry are you in? Well, I'm going to tell you, you could have heard a pin drop in that place. And this is one thing as I appreciate about Brother Oral Roberts. Brother Oral Roberts walked up to the platform and said, Brother, you're exactly right. We need to repent. I know one minister who was standing complaining, griping. He got mad about it, and I knew he got mad about it because he was up telling a sad story, and he got upset about it. And you know what he's doing today? This guy used to have a ministry people get delivered, set free from, and today he has a church that believes everybody goes to heaven, no matter what religion you are, no matter what you are, I'm going to tell you what, that day, that opened up for him. That day, instead of him repenting, I knew that day that wasn't going to work well for him. Instead of repenting, he got mad. And he opened a door to his spirit. And today, he doesn't believe anything about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, yet he was filled with the Holy Ghost. He had a ministry of healing, all kinds of stuff. He hit, and today, he has more junk going on, homosexuality, everything, no perversion, everything. Everybody's going to end up in heaven. Nobody goes to hell. See, the devil will carry you further than you want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay and cost you more than you wanted to pay. You don't want to go there. The Bible's right, and if I'm not in line with the Bible, it's wrong. It's wrong. If Ed's having a hard time about it, it ain't God's fault. God gave me a road of deliverance. I need to walk on it. And sometimes it's hard to press through it, but if I'll press through it, I will see it and I'll walk in it. He has designed it that way. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so set yourself to walk in line with these things. We'll be talking about this some more. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. We've gone long, I know, but I want to tell you what, I think these stories help you to see some things. We can come in line with the Word. Hallelujah. You're not some kind of slow people. You're not some kind of people who can't figure this stuff out. You can understand it. You can comprehend it. I know you can because I could. And if I could, you have no excuse. You have no excuse because I could understand it. Hallelujah. I'm not some rocket scientist. I'm going to tell you, if it wouldn't be for God's anointing, you definitely want to go to another church. It's the anointing. It's the anointing that does this. See, I got this message. God, this message was given to me. I did not study this message. I had no notes on this, and the Lord just spoke to me and told me, "I want this is what I want." Because I've been here. Well, what do you want me to talk about? Faith, we're doing this. What do you want to say? Because sometimes I get an idea, a certain section we can go, and he said, "I want you to talk about this." And here we are. We're talking about it, and I knew. And one of the things he said, "Give a lot of illustrations. Give a lot of illustrations how this works. Talk about it." See, it's one of the things. I do not tell you my illustrations to blow my horn that I'm a big deal. My illustrations come the things that God taught me. I didn't come up with it, so I can't say, boy, that it is smart. He really, if the Lord hadn't spoken to me that morning and dealt with me that morning, I often wonder if I wouldn't obey and listen to that, what would have happened? I wonder if I'd have just bypassed that and let that alone and never really caught a hold of that. I am so glad that morning I obeyed. I was always so glad because what it did in my life, that revelation changed my life probably more dramatically than any single revelation other than getting born again and filled with the Holy Ghost. That revelation, when I finally understood what it meant to act on the Word of God, I don't know why that seemed such a blank. Maybe you figured it out right away. I didn't. It's one of the things I always like about Charles Capps. Charles Capps would be real blunt and talk about where the rubber meets the road, about how you use them. I like that. That's where I'm at. Don't give me some big philosophical junk and jargon. I don't go there. To me, that's meh. Tell me just what it is. If I'm doing dumb, say, Edge, you acted dumb. Just say it. Well, you know, let's not go try to. I want to get on track as soon as possible. You know, let's get this thing rolling. I've told the Lord years ago, if you need to speak to me about something, you just go ahead and you say it and you be blunt to me. You tell me what I need to know. You don't have to tiptoe around Ed. Many Christians, I'm telling you this, some of you may have the problem with that because God always has to tiptoe around you to try to get you to get something to you because of your touchiness. You don't want to be there. I don't want to be touchy. Now I'm going to come, God, if you hurt my feelings, this is what I think. It's my fault. You'd never say or do anything to me to hurt me. You're trying to get me in the right direction. You're trying to help me. If I take it the wrong way, that's Ed's fault. That's my fault. I want God to support. I don't want to have to spend 10 years to get a revelation I needed way back yonder and live through miserable stuff because I didn't listen and I didn't. I don't want to go there. I bought enough misery on my life without adding any more to it. I did enough dumb stuff. Let's get it over there. And let's let God speak to us plainly. And I'm going to tell you, you can easily do this. This isn't something that, you know, it takes a whole lot. Starting to practice. Find out where your faith will let you do something. Find out where yours is at. Listen on the inside of you, where you're at. But consistently get the word into you. One of the things is I've learned a lot about numbers of areas of faith is because developing the area of healing. Because the Lord told me that's the number one area he wanted his people to succeed in. Because if they succeed in that area, he said financially they'll do well, mentally they'll do well. And nothing wears on you more than sickness, wears on your mind and everything else. When you're well, I'm going to tell you what, you can really go through a lot of stuff and deal with a lot of things that seem hard to do when you're well. You can. But when you're dealing, you got bad things going on in life and then your body's yelling at you all the time and you got problems and things going, man. You talk about it's a double whammy on you. You don't want that. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, this morning, Jesus, now just think about it. The presence of God is here. It's in this place. Also, you as a believer, you have the Holy Spirit in you. You have the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. He's living inside of you right now. Same Spirit raised Jesus. He's in you. And what's his job? Paul wrote in Romans, to quicken or to make alive your mortal body. That's what the purpose he's in there, to make alive your body. That's his purpose. The Holy Spirit. Now, we know he's in here. He's a teacher. He's a guide. But number one, you want to accept him as the one who makes alive your body. You want to do that. He makes alive your body. That right now, his job in there, and see, this is one. You need to start to get that on your voice, that's what he's doing. The Holy Spirit. People say, God lives in me. I'm the temple of God. What's he doing? Oh, he's, you know, sitting back on an easy chair watching TV because I don't think anything's happening in my life. Nothing's going on. Well, it's because he can't do any more than you, than your faith will allow him to do. And see, with me, the Holy Spirit's in me. He's making my body alive. You know what? I go out and run. When I go out and run, I say that scripture all the time while I run. My body's being made alive by the Spirit that's living in me. My body's made. I'm not weak. At my age, I'm strong. The Spirit, the same Spirit raised Jesus from the dead, makes my body alive. My body don't age like other people's bodies does. See, I say those things. I don't age like the world ages. I don't do that. I don't have to all. I'm not going to buy all the creams and potions, try to make myself look good while I'm dead on the inside. We're not going to turn around and get my skin stretched all over the place and do all that sort of stuff to make me look good while I have death reigning and ruling in me. Hallelujah. Same Spirit raised Jesus from the dead's in me, and hallelujah, glory to God. I'm going to be 69 soon, and I'll tell you what, I don't feel no 69. I get around them 69-year-old people, and I want to get away from them. My God, I feel like I'm in a hospital when I get around these people. Hallelujah. That's not me. Is it why? It's because the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in me, making me alive. That's what He does. That's what He does. See, that's why Mike's not retiring, he's refiring. Hallelujah. Mike at his age is going into, he's going into business. Now see, most people, you know what they do? Oh man, look at retire. We don't want to do no business. You know, I want to be a millionaire, but I don't want to do what it takes to be a millionaire. You know, that's what most people are doing. They want to retire and then they're trying to get money. Well, money comes by working. Do you ever notice that?
That's
right. Folks, it's good preaching. No, you're going to retire. You get whatever comes to it, you know. You're not just going to sit and believe just to have money come and not do anything. You're not going to do that because God's system doesn't work that way. Amen. It doesn't work like that. And so people need to get a hold of that fact. You know, some people, you come to the age, all of us one day are going to come to the age that, you know, that our body starts to wear out, and I'm looking forward to going home to be with Jesus. If Jesus don't soon come soon, well, whatever, age out, and I'm looking for that day will come. But it ain't going to come badly. It's not going to come this thing and that stuff, and we're going to spend 20 years, you know, in a nursing home somewhere trying to get, you know, half dead, and them trying to, you know, they're drooling and stuff and all that kind of stuff. We ain't going there. I'm not knocking anybody goes there, but I'll tell you, we don't have to. I know how to leave this earth. I know how to use my faith to leave. I know how to die by faith. Do you? It's the same principles I've been teaching. You put on what your voice, what you're saying. People do it all the time, but usually do it badly. They say things that make them die badly. But I know how to leave this earth. The Lord had to stop me. I wanted to go. He told me, you quit it. He said, there's things you got to do here yet. I'm here preaching to you because He told me to stay. I didn't want to stay. I wanted to go. You touch over to that side, it's so much better. I'm on that side so much better than you guys. I'm going to tell you, it's just, and you guys feel exactly the same way. You touch over there and say, my God, what have I been hanging on to this for? What have I been going after? Why do I cling to this like this is something? See, this is one of the things is action. I don't cling to this side. I don't cling here. I'm here because it's needful for you. This ain't no big deal. It's just a gift God gave me. Just like you have a gift. Your needfulness of being here is because of what God's given you to do. But if you think, if you just want to be here, no, I got to be here and I got to stay here. I always have these people, well, I got to be here and I got to be here for my kids. Why? Can't God take care of your kids? I've never seen anybody got healed because their kids needed them. That ain't faith. Nobody in the Bible says, you're going to get healed if your kids need you. See, people need to get stuff out of their minds. And get over, I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to be like Abraham. You know what the Bible says about Abraham? He wasn't looking for a city here on the earth of men. He was looking for a heavenly city. I live here in this earth, but I'm going to tell you, my citizenship's in heaven. The Bible says so. I have a citizenship here, but it ain't nothing permanent. But I have a permanent citizenship. It's in that city, the city of God. Where God is enthroned. That's my city. That's my permanent residence. Hallelujah. That's the one day that's going to come down to the earth on the new heaven, on the new earth. Hallelujah. Ed's house is in there. Ed's place is in there. Hallelujah. I want it near the throne. Now get me over there, right near the mountain. Well, that's where I want to be there. Hallelujah. Put me over there. See, we're going to be in that place. That's our place. That's my permanent residence. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is temporary. This junk down here is temporary. See, You look at life, faith's easy when you think of this stuff being temporary. But most people are trying to change things. They're thinking, this is all, I got this mess and it's permanent to them. And they're trying to fight through it. No, it's not. This is a temporary thing. This is temporal. This stuff going on down here is just for a period of time. Life is like smoke. How fast did this last year go? Huh? Well, was it a vapor of smoke? Like the scripture says. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm leaving, folks. Are you? I'm not staying for the Antichrist. Are you? I read about him. That's all I have to do is read about it. I don't, thank God. We're just reading about it. You're leaving. Glory to God. Father, I thank you today. I thank you, Father God, that the bodies of each one here today is being made alive. I thank you sickness can't stay in it because by Jesus Christ's stripes, they were healed. So the only thing, Lord God, that the Holy Spirit would have to offer them is healing. He don't have anything else to give them because through Jesus, he only has to give what Jesus gave him. And I want to thank you. I thank you, Lord God, that their healing is working in their bodies in the name of Jesus. I thank you their health, Lord God. Lord, it may not even seem there's any sickness in their body, but it don't matter. Their body's being quickened and made alive. Lord God, we were singing about, you know, soaring with the eagles today. Lord God, Lord, I want to thank you, Lord God. You're strengthening us and building us up, hallelujah, like the eagle, Lord God. Lord God, full of strength and vigor in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord God, that age is wearing on us. Hallelujah. Life is wearing on us. The life of God is working inside of us today. Lord God, I thank you concerning their minds. The Bible's very, very clear saying we have the mind of Christ. I want to thank you, devil, in the name of Jesus. Get your hands off of their minds. They have the mind of Christ. They can think clearly, understand clearly. Lord God, they're people of faith. And Lord God, they can think in line with the Word of God and understand and comprehend it easily in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father God. Life is working in them. It's working in their mind in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I want to thank you. The Word is real to them. Lord God, their hearts are open and receptive to the Word of God. They're born of God. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is revealing what's the Holy Spirit's revealing to them, the things Jesus is saying and doing. And I thank you, their heart's picking it up. Hallelujah. And they understand it and comprehend it. And they're acting on the Word of God. And the blessings of God overtake them and run over them, Lord God. And Lord God, they're able to take those blessings to others in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord God, you're using them mightily. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. All because of that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is inside of us. Hallelujah. It's working in us mightily. I thank you, Lord God. We have wonderful memories. Our minds work good. Hallelujah. Age does not have effect on our memories in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we have no care of what medical science says. What do they know? It don't work for them anyhow. So Lord God, your Word works for us. Hallelujah. Lord God, your Word tells us that the crown of the old age, the gray hair, Lord God, you said, Lord God, it's a crown of glory. And I want to thank you to get old is glorious. Hallelujah. To develop an age, Lord God, is glorious, full of more years of wisdom and understanding. Lord God, and not feebleness, Lord God, and stumbling around. But Lord God, I want to thank you that you're working mightily in us in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I'm just so glad I can get older. Hallelujah. Because, Lord, there's been so many people, they haven't got old. They left way before their time. But I thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord, as you tarry, I have many years that I can walk in. Many years of fruitful Christian service. Many fruitful years of teaching and preaching the Word. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, many, many more years, Lord God, that I can stand and proclaim. Oh, Lord God, look at 20 years down the road. I might finally know something. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I just thank you. Hallelujah. Father God, what I'll be able to do for people. And we thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Lord, this is where we're walking. This is where we're living right now. Lord God, we're going to start talking like it's true. Lord, we throw out of our mouths what other people have said and said about getting old. Lord God, we throw it out in the name of Jesus. We refuse to talk it. We refuse to say it. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you. We're people of life. Hallelujah. Life, health, soundness of mind. Life and health and soundness of mind. Life and health and soundness of mind. That's ours in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank you because you redeemed them from the curse of the law. You redeemed them from poverty. You redeemed them for sickness. You redeemed them from spiritual death. And Father, I want to thank you, Lord God, for poverty, you gave them wealth. For sickness, you gave them health. And Lord God, for death, you gave them eternal life. I want to thank you. That's theirs. And it's true according to the Word of God. It's true. Hallelujah. Lord God, they're blessed coming in. They're blessed going out. Lord God, these people are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Lord God, the blessing of the Lord follows them wherever they go, wherever they walk. Hallelujah. Lord God, your hand is upon them, revealing your glory through them in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord God, I thank you that you're supplying all their needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, for all that you're accomplishing and doing in them and through them in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, let's have a great month. Make this month a month of glory. Hallelujah. Expect big things. Talk big things. If you go to say something and out of your mouth concerning, something and it just sounds too big, say it. If it sounds too big, don't say what is within your reach. Say something. Start to speak things that are out of your reach. Start saying and believing for something that's outside of what you can normally do. I'll tell you, we can have what we say. You keep saying it, it'll get inside of you. And when it gets inside of you, that thing's going to grow up. That thing that seems so big, after a while, you're going to be, my God, it's mine. I know it. I have it. It belongs to me. And you got to do that. You start saying it. See, just saying what we have, that's what most Christians do. They say what they have. Don't say what you have. Get it out beyond, beyond what, all things are possible to him that believeth. If that's true, could you say one that's too big? Could you say something that's, no, you couldn't. See, you couldn't say nothing's too big. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, these Christians say, yeah, God's really big, but don't ask for much. Oh, people just think that, you just want stuff. Well, listen to this. He said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, things. Christianity does nothing but knock people that want things. Jesus said, I'm supposed to ask for things. Most Christians and ministers speak against Jesus Christ and preach a false gospel. He said, whatever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive it. Whatever things. See, we need to get over and start asking. There's things that you need. God ain't nervous about you getting things. Jesus told Kenneth Hagin, he said, I ain't against my people being rich. I'm against them being covetous. He said, that's it. You know what covetous is? It's a love of money. It's a love of stuff. That's what it is. He said, I don't care how much. You just don't love it. See, if you learn to be a giver, that stuff don't bother you at all. Hallelujah. See, if you learn this thing, I can give things away because I know how to get things. So I don't have to worship no thing that I get. Why? Because I can give it away and get another one. I can get another one, and probably my faith will be better this time. I'll get a better one. Hallelujah. Give a Ford away and get a BMW. Amen. I don't know why people don't think like this, but this is the way I think about it. Well, just do something better with my faith than what I could do before. I can go for something more. Why? To keep my faith straight. It isn't about just getting stuff. To keep my faith stretched out there where I can do things with my faith. Hallelujah. And you'll do things with yours. I'll tell you what. Make this a wonderful, wonderful month. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Our God's real. He's alive. He's not a baby thing. We celebrate that God came in the flesh. But he died, raised from the dead for your justification. You're a child of God. Hallelujah. An angel don't have to appear to you and tell you to go to Bethlehem. Glory to God. Bethlehem done moved in. God's living in you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Have a glorious week. Hallelujah. Woo!